Greetings and welcome to the first Social Photo Podcast. I'm Aaron Hockley, the guy behind socialphototalk.com.
And I'm Liza Danger Gardner, here to help Aaron out.
And we're going to talk about photography, social media, how they interrelate, talk about a few things that haven't been on the Social Photo Talk website, as well as recap some highlights from the week. Our plan is that this will be a weekly recording released on Fridays. Bear with us as we get started with the first episode. So let's start off by talking about Twitter lists, which are one of the new features on Twitter introduced a few weeks ago. The reaction to Twitter lists has been interesting. I know a lot of people have been playing around with them. Robert Scoble thinks they're now the best way to read Twitter. Chris Brogan thinks maybe they're a bit overhyped and people might feel excluded from lists. What have you done with lists so far, Liza?
Well, I'd like to add one more thing. I think my mom doesn't know what lists are yet. But just to recap for our audience, in case you haven't experienced Twitter lists yet, they allow you to put together public or private lists of people that you think are interesting to follow in a particular category, perhaps. And a lot of the big movers and shakers out there on social media are starting to put together these lists of people, and you can go follow them. I have spent a little time with this. Unfortunately, right now, it's such a new feature that very few of the Twitter clients are supporting it. Most of those that are in very early beta releases. You know, my Twitter list experience is nascent yet, infant in its development. I think that Aaron has actually spent a little bit more time. I know that Aaron has a pretty extensive list of photographers, and of course, that's what we'll be talking about.
Yeah, I did go on and I created a Twitter list of initially about 20, 25 photographers that I used when I blogged about lists on Social Photo Talk. And one thing that was, you know, interesting was, yes, it's great to have a list. I use the Seismic desktop client, and its beta version supports lists. And one thing that lists will do, I don't think this is really the point of lists, but it will be this benefit, is that desktop clients such as Seismic or TweetDeck or Tweety, some of the others that have groups, lists will provide an interesting way to sync those groups between machines, because even though it's not a Seismic group, I now have a list that I can view from any Twitter client that supports a list. So no matter which Twitter client I'm using, or even if I'm browsing Twitter on the web, I can look at one of my lists and I have that grouped view. And with lists being able to be public or private, you could create private lists that essentially act as synchronized groups between Twitter clients.
Which I think people are doing to an extent and forgetting to turn them private, which is one of the interesting early uses I've seen. I'm on a couple people's family lists, for example. But I think it'll be an interesting transition time as people move away from using their sort of personalized list into various discrete desktop applications to moving to these lists. It may be a while before it feels natural for the average Twitter user.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that goes. Maybe it's a topic we'll revisit at some point down the road. Let's see. Next on the list, another Twitter topic to mention. A few weeks ago at the Photo Plus Exposition, there was a panel called the Twitter Revolution Panel, and it featured several different photographers who are active on Twitter and the social media scene talking about how photographers can use Twitter for their business and to make money and for marketing purposes and that. Take a look.
Everyone's favorite Twitter topic, how to make money on Twitter.
Exactly. Everybody wants to know the ROI, so maybe they'll get into that.
How do I get 10,000 people to follow me?
Exactly. They did record audio for that panel, so we'll be linking up that audio from the show notes. So take a look at the blog post on Social Photo Talk where we announce this podcast, and you'll find relevant links.
Yeah, there's several great short audio presentations from some important people in the field, so check that out. So next up on the old agenda is to talk to you a bit about something going on Flickr, a new program they have in place with Getty Images. Now, in the past, selling your images through Flickr, on purpose at least, is an extreme no-no. They will yell at you and shut you down. It violates the terms and conditions, which are non-commercial. However, recently, Getty and Flickr teamed up and created this thing. Well, if they find you anyway, Getty in the past would look around Flickr, stumble upon photographers that they think rocked And contact those photographers directly and ask them if they'd like to participate and sell their images through the Getty Images program. Well, in the last week, Flickr and Getty have opened up this program, and now you don't have to be invited. You head on over to the Getty Images Call for Artists Flickr group pool thing, and you submit 10 of your best images that you think that Getty would want to sell. Some editor at Getty goes through this pool regularly, looks at all the things that have been posted, and decides who's worthy. And if they like your stuff, they contact you back, and you start going through a process of signing various agreements with them. There are some interesting wrinkles to this that have some of the internet community up in arms right now. It's very exciting to some people who are looking to leverage their Flickr sales potential. But to other people, there's a lot of concern around a couple of issues. One is that to participate in the program, you have to bring all of your images out of any Creative Commons or other less restrictive type of licensing you may have set on those images. It's not compatible with what Getty is doing. And secondly, there's a certain amount of exclusivity around the representation that Getty has for those images once you've agreed and signed up with them. You cannot sell them or other images that are quite like them through any other channel. You are bound and obligated to use Getty as your exclusive salesperson.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I know when the program was invitation only, there were quite a lot of people who, you know, felt either left out or just like they wanted a piece of the action and really wanted into the program. And in theory, this should now allow any photographer who has, you know, good enough images that are of a market that Getty can sell to get included. It'll, you know, as you mentioned, the licensing and exclusivity restrictions might make it a, you know, worth a second look for some photographers who may be used to, you know, selling their works through different forms and different venues. Currently, I know I've, you know, made commercial sales of some of my Flickr work to different organizations and people at different times, you know, who have contacted me. And if, you know, if I were to go into the Getty program, anybody who contacted me about buying an image, I would need to refer them to Getty, which, you know, may or may not turn them away from, you know, from purchasing.
Right, and even though there are over 40,000 photos on the pool already, you know, it's an interesting question to see what slice of the Flickr populace is going to be interested in this. It does seem that Getty does have these 40,000 pictures to cull through and probably will find some good stuff. I mean, just looking at the images in the pool, it's pretty high quality, much better than an average Flickr pool. Not everything is amazing, but there's definitely some good stuff here, and it'll be interesting to see if other opportunistic folks use this pool as a source for looking for people who maybe haven't signed on to Getty Images yet, but might be able to provide them with some neat images.
Yeah, I don't know about yourself, but I'm probably going to submit some work to the pool. I haven't yet. I'm more curious just to see if they would accept me. I don't know whether I would then follow through. I would probably want to read more of the details of the actual license agreement and find out all of the, you know, all of the legalese and what exactly I'm agreeing to. But it would be interesting to know, you know, is my work of the caliber that would get selected? And I think there's probably a lot of, you know, hobbyists and prosumers and people like that that would probably be interested in applying just for that information. So,
but the interesting thing to me is that now that this is no longer invitation only, I wonder if it actually takes away a bit of the cachet. Like in the past, if Getty came to you and was like, "Hey, Aaron, we really like your stuff," you know, that's flattering. And now that that's gone, maybe some of the mystery is as well.
Possibly, yeah. It'll be interesting to see, you know, a year from now, or, you know, a year and a half from now, you know, what is the status of the program? If I recall, Thomas Hawk was one of the photographers who was invited to participate in the program. And I think about a month or two ago, he posted kind of a look back of how things had gone for him. And he'd sold some images. I think it was to the tune of, you know, several hundred dollars. You know, I don't think it was thousands, if I recall correctly, which, you know, it's a few hundred dollars you might not have otherwise had. But, you know, was it necessarily worth, you know, what he had to jump through and the exclusivity requirements? I don't know. And everybody will have to make that decision on their own. So,
right. And as someone who's not 100% time-wise doing the photography thing, someone who is in the prosumer or, you know, advanced advanced decent level, I guess, who maybe is looking for a passive revenue stream, this may be appropriate for them as well.
Right. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. We'll probably have to revisit the subject at some point in the future. All right, one more thing we wanted to call your attention to is last week Social Photo Talk released a free white paper titled "A Introduction to Twitter for Photographers." It's a 6-page report that talks about how photographers can start using Twitter to spread their influence online, do some marketing both to local and national audiences, and in general kind of answers the questions that a lot of photographers have when they're starting to use Twitter of, you know, what makes it worth it? Is it worth spending my time on? Can I make money on Twitter? So we'll have a link to that in the show notes, but it's a free download, about 6 pages of information on getting started with Twitter. I think that's going to wrap it up for the first episode of the Social Photo Podcast.
And we really would love your feedback, and that's not just restricted to snarky or happy comments about how we did, but we would love to plumb your ideas for what you would like us to talk about, nagging questions about social media and photography that keep you up at night. And specifically, I have a question out there. If you guys, any of you, have been involved in the Getty program with Flickr or any of the other things we're talking about or have other strong opinions, please visit the blog at socialphototalk.com, drop us an email at podcast@socialphototalk.com, or otherwise find us on Twitter and yell at us there.
All right. Thank you, Liza. And we'll look forward to talking with you all again next week.
See you next week, Aaron.